Okay, and to the, well, the garden in February, we've had some cold weather, we've had wet weather, and if you're like me, you've had sort of all sorts of bits and pieces trashed in the garden by the wind, the rain, and all the rest of it. I know I dug out some old potatoes from one of our boxes the other day, but hopefully to try and make sense of all of this is a welcome return to our radio gardener, Jean Griffin. Morning, Jean.
Good morning, Tony. It's really nice to hear you again.
and you. I'm not the only one that's had these problems with the wet and the cold and the wind, am I?
Oh, definitely not. One of the things that I do on another radio programme, the word is mush. And mush. Things have been turned to mush. The frost and the snow has actually sort of desiccated, I think, is perhaps the word, of sort of fairly broadleaf things. Even agapanthus, I've got a scilla in the garden that was just, I mean, what happens is that the water inside the leaf freezes.
Yep.
And then when the sun comes out, it just turns the leaf into a mushy mess.
This is what happened with our potato. Some of our potatoes we had out. We were going to get some done for Christmas. And then the wet weather came, the cold weather came, and it just devastated the whole stuff. We managed to get some sprouts off, but we've just gone back to it all in the last few days to see if we can tidy some of it up. And, well, it's kind
it's
of devastation.
Annoying. Never mind.
Yeah.
You can try again. And that's what gardening's all about, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. The only thing that survived, actually, funny enough, was the garlic.
That's, oh, it will do.
That's doing its own thing. I don't think anything out there much in the way of nature likes garlic, so which is a good thing for me because I quite like it on certain things.
So do I.
Okay.
And the other good thing at the same time as garlic is red onions.
Really?
Yeah, if you plant those almost at the same time as that you plant your garlic, they will see through the winter as well. Mm. And mine have done really well.
Now, I'm going to be really dim here, really, really dim, because I know a red onion from an ordinary onion, certainly in terms of colour, but what's the actual difference between the two?
Nothing.
Right, that's answered that question. That's straightforward.
Nothing
and
other
sorted.
Than the colour. I don't think it makes very much difference. They seem to be, and I've not looked this up, so I don't know. They seem to be a bit more hardy than the ordinary white onions. They're also not as easily affected by white rot, which is a horrible disease of onions. But mine have been absolutely fine. And I've still got some in the garage, actually, waiting to be cooked.
Yeah, I mean, we're looking at doing something along those lines for later on this year. So
good.
The first of the things that I was looking to talk about today, some of the things that you need to do in the garden in February, and one of them is prepare vegetable seed beds and sow some vegetables undercover. So I was quite right to get out there the other day and rake and sort out the soil. I haven't planted anything yet, but do you plant your seeds actually outside or do you do them in little pots indoors first?
It all depends what you're doing. The garlic, I always do in pots to start with. I leave them outside, but I do have them in pots, and then I plant them out at this time of the year. They are absolutely fine. I do the same with my onions. Leeks will be coming into the garden centres before long if you haven't had time to to sort of sow your seed. I will do a little bit of caution. Don't be too early in sowing your things like tomatoes, peppers and things like that. Because unless you've got the facilities of heat and light, and the light being very important, then you tend to get these long, straggly plants, which really are not very good. But one of the things that you like growing, I know, as you've mentioned, is the potatoes.
Oh, absolutely.
And so now is the time to get your egg boxes ready. And put them in. Remember, I think it was last time we talked about chitting tomatoes.
Yeah,
potatoes,
I was going to say, I was going to mention about that, but it was you've just added another little incendiary device in there by talking about sort of those vegetable boxes. You're going to explain what they're for in a minute, hopefully.
Yeah, egg boxes.
Oh, egg boxes.
egg boxes. Yes, mm-hmm. All you do with the egg boxes is to put in your potatoes, your seed potatoes.
Right.
There's masses in the garden centres at the moment, mm-hmm. absolutely masses. So all you do is to collect your potato and pop it into your egg box.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of people will actually rub some of the eyes out. Now, the eyes are the little, you know, the bits that you dig out if you're cooking a potato.
Yeah, yeah.
But those are the shoots, because a potato is in actual fact a swollen stem of
really?
The plant.
Yeah. All right.
Right? So, yeah. And why I know it's a swollen stem is because the a stem is the only thing that will actually grow a bud. And so the little shoots that come off are buds.
Right. Oh, so
and then they grow up through the soil.
Yeah. I thought you just put the potatoes straight into the soil in those cases, but you recommend putting them in an egg box.
Put them in an egg box and wait until the little shoots are about inch and a half high.
Yeah.
And then put them in.
Okay. All right. Well, there's a handy tip. I mentioned about sort of the bad weather and that. We dug up all sorts of things. There were these huge potatoes, bigger than we've ever had before,
mm-hmm.
that weren't really edible. They'd been affected too much by the weather. But it just surprised me at the size of these potatoes. They were enormous. So we're getting there with it. Hopefully this year's crop will work out a little better.
Yeah. What variety were those, Tony?
Oh, they were
know?
just straightforward reds. I have no idea what the particular variety was. We'd just taken some that had been in the kitchen rather too long, stuck them back in the ground, hadn't done the egg box trick.
Mm-hmm.
And, they grew rapidly. I mean, it's a great way of, you know, not having to buy seeds. But these potatoes turned out beautifully and then got trashed by, say, the cold and the
And they would be. I mean, one way, of course, when did you put them in?
Oh, this would have been September last year.
Yeah. If you put them in September and October, put them into bags.
Yeah.
And then when the cold weather comes, you can lift the bag and put it in the garage.
All right.
And then you don't get them turning into mush in the compost.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, that's so many handy hints. Get a bag and put your potatoes in a bag in the soil, obviously.
Yeah.
And, all these little hints and tips I've got to try. You're a mind of information, I have to say. I'll bet your vegetable cupboard's full as well.
Well, it's almost getting down now. Fruit, of course, is my... that's why I love my allotment. Mm. I've actually halved the size of my allotment this year. Mainly because I had four rods, which is a big plot. And I'm finding that I haven't got the time to give it the amount of work that it needs. Mm. And so I've halved the plot and I've got raised beds on it. And I've also got red currants, black currants, white currants and gooseberries.
I can feel a pie coming on. I can feel a pie coming on.
And then I'm just about to buy some new raspberry canes.
All
so
right.
There we are.
Oh,
that's
good.
Me done.
Because the other thing, it's part of this, I'm looking at the RHS, the Royal Horticultural Society's website, and third on their list of jobs to do this month, when you're speaking about fruit, is protect blossom on apricots, nectarines and peaches. I'm presuming they should have already been planted.
Oh, that they will be. The problem is with that is that they do get a problem called peach leaf curl.
All right.
Right. Now, it doesn't actually affect the blossom, but it does affect the new leaves. And what happens is that the leaves look like blisters all over them. You know when you get a blister on your heel or something?
Yeah.
That's exactly what it looks like on there. But they're bright pink.
Oh, right.
And it looks horrible, absolutely horrible. Doesn't actually affect the plant. You can get over it. And by the way, the spores are airborne.
Mm-hmm.
So you can get over it by actually, rather than spraying, which I don't like doing, as you know, mainly because if you spray when the blossom is on, then you're going to affect the bees, which is not a good idea.
No.
So if you get some stuff called Environ Mesh...
Yeah.
Right? And that is very similar to horticultural fleece.
All right.
And if you make a cage around your apricot, nectarine or peach,
yeah,
then that will stop the majority of the spores from getting onto the plant.
Yeah, I mean, you've really got to sort of check your soil, though, haven't you, beforehand? I mean, as I say, I was out doing just turning the soil, and we had so many bits and pieces that got affected by things that came from the soil last year. There's no real way of actually getting rid of those unless you're just letting the cold and nature do its job, aren't you?
Yes and no. You can put a heavy mulch on.
Yeah.
Like for roses, for instance,
mm-hmm.
if you have black spot on roses, if you haven't
this
been...
Is, this is more sort of things eating sprout leaves, caterpillars and those sorts of bits and pieces.
Yes, I mean, turning over the soil. There's a big campaign at the moment, of course, no dig.
No dig,
because mm-hmm. they're saying that every time you dig, you release carbon out of the ground. So the way to get over that is to actually put on a very thick layer of your own homegrown compost or farmyard manure or something like that, mm-hmm. really thick on the top. Let the worms do the rest,
mm-hmm.
And you should be okay.
Yeah, we've got there are some good worms in there. It's an interesting thing. It's a whole different conversation, that one, about the environment when you're talking about not being able to dig your soil over. At some point, you're going to have to, I would guess. You can't go on, keep on putting stuff on stuff on stuff on stuff.
You can.
until you've got no space left to put it on. Say, we have the big boxes. They'd be flying over the top.
You would be surprised as to how much it rots down, actually.
Yeah.
It really is. Yeah, honestly.
Okay.
And the worms do the rest. So that's, you know, it's quite an interesting sort of subject to chat about sometime, don't
Yeah, I was going to say, we found there were worms in there, which was a good thing. Anyway, just a quick look at the remainder of those bits and pieces. There were 10 things to do in the garden. We've touched on the top three there. Number four was net fruit and vegetable crops. Five was prune winter flowering shrubs that have finished flowering. Six was divide bulbs such as snowdrops and plant those that need planting in the green. Then pure wisteria, prune wisteria at seven, prune hardy evergreen hedges and renovate overgrown deciduous hedges at eight, prune conservatory climbers such as bougainvillea ovea at number nine, and then at ten, cut back deciduous grasses left uncut over the winter, remove dead grass from evergreen grasses. And I'm going to add number 11 to that because you've already touched on the climate situation, and I would guess that lawn cutting times are about to change as well. And some people probably, if we get some good weather, are going to be looking at cutting their lawn for the first time before the end of the month, aren't they?
They are, but again, be careful of that when you do it, that you raise the blades on your lawnmower.
Mm-hmm.
Because don't scalp the grass at this time of the year. It's not a good idea.
No, the ground's going to be a bit wet, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, to the other thing in your life, which is, of course, still to do with flowers and gardens and all the rest of it, is Southeast in Bloom.
Yeah.
And you've got, there's a campaign coming up, I do believe.
Well, we have a campaign every year, and we're South and Southeast in Bloom. So we go all the way from the tip of Thanet in Kent, all the way through Kent, mm-hmm. Surrey, Sussex, and Northeast Hampshire.
Wow.
All the way down to Winchester.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a huge area. And I'm really trying to see if I can get as many people interested in the Surrey and Sussex border area. Mm-hmm. We have all sorts of things. Although it's called In Bloom, we're not all about flowers and hanging baskets. We have environmental issues. We have communities. We've got It's Your Neighbourhood, cemeteries, crematoria, parks.
Mm-hmm.
You name it, we do it. And what I'll do, Sonia, I'll send you a PDF which you can have a look at,
mm-hmm.
so that you can see the range that we do. Lots of people these days are doing things like looking at their own area, like their street.
Yeah.
What is there? Because the council are on a short sort of, well, they haven't got much money, in other words.
It's not one of their priorities, let's put it that way.
That's right. So they sometimes people say, oh, well, there's a bit at the end of our road and nobody bothers with it. Get out there and do something about it. Let us know. You don't have to write screeds of information. We would actually send out somebody, mm-hmm. and we have a telephone helpline as well. But we would send somebody out to sort of say, yeah, that's a good idea. This is how you do it. And you get an RHS certificate at the end of it.
Oh, right. Okay.
So
that sounds like a plan.
Well, I love it, mainly because I'm a judge anyway.
Mm.
And you do meet such absolutely fabulous people. We go to one which is a community garden.
Yeah.
And they deal with people with dementia, for instance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then they sell out their produce or they give it away. Or, you know, the communities themselves, the people are just, well, absolutely phenomenal.
Mm. Didn't this all start out of, I mean, this sort of thing started out with sort of roundabouts being sort of decorated and taken over. And then, of course, the council stepped in and said, you can't do that, but we'll do it for you sort of thing. So this is, I'm guessing, an extension of that and basically making the environment within which you live a lot brighter.
It did. It started off, believe it or not, from, do you remember a campaign called Keep Britain Tidy?
Oh, yeah. Who could forget that?
Well, that's where it started. And there is still a Keep Britain Tidy campaign going on.
Yeah. We need a campaign to get more rubbish bins, I think, though, as well, to go with that. But that, again, is a conversation for another day.
So
it is. It's South and Southeast in Bloom. And it's going to, there's a website, isn't there?
There is, but also, if anybody contacts you directly, Tony, you have my email address and my telephone number.
Okay.
I'm quite happy to talk them through it.
Okay, that's fine. Jean, we've run short of time, as always.
Yeah.
We'll get the detail of that onto our website, and if you send us all the details over, we'll add those to the bits and pieces on the website attached to this particular conversation. But just very briefly, without saying where you're off to, we're going to be doing something slightly different next month, aren't we?
We hope.
just a little tease I'm looking forward to that one, I can tell you, to find out what grows elsewhere is all I'm going to say. I'm going to say no more than that. Yes. Shush. Jean Griffin, it's been good to catch up with you today. Thank you for talking to us.
Thank you, Tony.
We'll talk to you in a different place next month.
Thank you.
Cheers.